Good evening, literacy lovers and education lovers. But I want to say that our podcast and videocast is a little bit different than most education podcasts that focus on structured literacy, because we are discussing articles that take some time to read. So we are breaking down these articles for all people to understand. And this includes community leaders and parents and teachers and education leaders. Tonight we have a really special article from The Atlantic. The title of this article is "Private Schools Have Public Responsibilities Too." The authors are Nomi Stoltzenberg and David Myers. So The Atlantic article, put your listening ears up, and we're going to begin. Faith and Judy.
All right, so I love how this article starts off with the question. And the question is it permissible for private schools in this country to disregard state standards of proficiency in English, math, and US history? And that speaks to me because I saw this topic come up in the New York Times. And I actually posted this on my page with trepidation because, you know, anytime you start talking about anything related to religion, it could offend people. But I didn't view this as an article about a religious group. Viewed this as an article about social justice and about all children getting a basic education. And I think The Atlantic handled the topic beautifully because it did not condemn any particular group, but it really did get to the heart of the matter. And that is, shouldn't all schools be accountable? Whether it's a public school, private school, religious school, especially when schools are taking funding. And where does that funding come from? Taxpayers. So we should all be concerned about how money is spent. And it's not just private schools. Obviously, public schools are not really doing very well either, educating our kids. So I want to be very clear that there's a problem overall. Public schools, of course, handle the most cases. So we should be horrified by the results from all types of schools. But now let's just particularly look at private schools right now. What are some of the problems that you see, and how do we want to begin? Judy, what are your feelings about this?
So Faith, I think you hit it on the money when you said that all schools need to start reflecting on what's going on. And you know, some articles, not this article, but other articles made me feel like there's a blame game going on. And I'm very sensitive to that because, you know, I'm a first generation American. And, you know, my family has had its own history of, you know, discrimination, anti-Semitism, and so forth. So I think the most important thing for me is whether you're a private school, a public school, all schools nationwide have to be held accountable. And there has to be a research and evidence-based program in all schools. I don't care if it's a yeshiva, a Catholic school, any school, public school,
Protestant,
every single school needs to have a research and evidence-based program, and not only for 30 minutes of phonics. And I think that, you know, New York City is definitely working on that right now, but it has to happen everywhere. And it's not there yet, because I'm sure a lot of schools still have, you know, 30 minutes of phonics time, maybe. But what's going on during the rest of that literacy block?
Good
what
point.
What phonics look like also?
Good point. And you know, this is what really got my goat a little bit with this Atlantic article. First paragraph, a key nub of controversy is the fact that Hasidic schools in New York receive massive public financial support. Get ready for this. $1 billion over the past 4 years. $1 billion. Even though the administrators are openly defiant about the state's requirements that they educate their students to a bare minimum.
But see, I feel like that, but that hits a nerve with me because right away that's singling out a little bit in that.
But it isn't, because if you read the whole article, so I would encourage our listeners and viewers to read the whole article, because the Times focused in on one particular group. It also mentions Catholic schools, of which I'm a product. So my ancestors.
This article did, Mary. This article. But the Times did not really talk about that. So as somebody also who is sensitive to this issue, and also, living in New York, and of course, anti-Semitism is at a high. It's a very sensitive issue, but I'm so glad, Mary, that you are the one who brought up this article that I think was a little bit more even of, and talked about other groups. So I didn't mean to cut you off. Please continue.
No, you know what? This is a very balanced article, and we credit Nomi Stolzenberg and David Myers. But I am a product of a Catholic school because my grandparents were Scottish and Irish immigrants. And, you know, I was talking with Faith and Judy and mentioned I didn't really know growing up why I was placed in a Catholic school. But in this article, they Catholics had a really strong, valid reason for forming their own schools. And the reason was that many of the, you know, school leaders and state and federal leaders were Protestant. And so they didn't want that influence on their children as they were learning. This is my problem with any private school, because I was a public school educator for 32 years. We must hold every single school in our country accountable for the same standards, because every student deserves a chance at learning as much as they possibly can. So what does that mean? For me, it means they have to be subject to the high-stake tests that all of our public school children have to take every year. And those schools are ranked and all of the results are reported. The same holds true, in my opinion, for public schools.
Well, I could tell you after reading this, it really it really got to me as I was reading this, because they talked about the Amish. They talked about the history of Black and Hispanics in America and how so many people resisted the public school focus because it was so centered on something that they couldn't connect to. So when New York Times focused on the Hasidic Jews, it's really about them wanting to hold on to their values and traditions. And I respect that.
I do too.
And I think that this article really focused on that and said that it's okay to want to hold on to values, traditions, and to be in charge of what your children learn in school. But there needs to be a basic standard. And that basic education must allow for people to enter the workforce. What's happening is there are groups of children not able to get a job. And we know this with public school too, that children are just pushed through a system, they graduate, and then they can't find jobs because they have, you know, inadequate backgrounds and inadequate education. Right. That's just unfair for all. But when you mention billions of dollars going to private schools and every single one of these kids are failing basic literacy exams, there's something wrong with that.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
But state exam scores look pretty bad nationwide in both public and private school. So we have to look at it on a larger scale. What's going on in all of these schools. And you know what I think the article failed to mention? I want to see the data. Mm-hmm. Did the articles mention the exact statistics of that data? And also, we have bilingual education in schools as well in the public sector. How does that data compare to the private school data as well? So the proof is in the pudding. And I think it's a very slippery slope when we just look at public versus private. And I think we have to look at it more globally.
You know what, Judy? That was such an excellent, excellent point. And honestly, there was somebody who sent me a message. Actually, she was very polite. She did this in a private message. And it was a woman who was not too happy that I posted the New York Times article. And she did mention to me just what you said, Judy. Why don't we look exactly? You probably read the same opinion article because there was an opinion article that said, you know what? You have to look at the other side of this. And why don't we look at how children, English language learners, fair and you know, poor schools and public education, how they fare. And you know what? Across the board, the money is just being dumped into programs, whether it's public or private, without any accountability.
That's a good
point. That's the key. These are very good questions. What I loved about the Atlantic article is the authors peppered the entire essay with questions. So ponder this. Shouldn't religious groups be allowed to educate their kids as they see fit?
Absolutely.
So my experience in Catholic school, which I will carry with me forever, is that we attended Mass, which is a very important part of the Catholic tradition. Once a week, we participated in Mass. But we also had a really good education. So I believe the education is strong, but do I have evidence for that? No, because I just have, you know, what I did and what I learned, but we don't have any accountability, as you said, Judy, and also reiterated Faith. There's no accountability for private schools, and yet they're receiving billions of dollars of taxpayer money. So as taxpayers across the board, we should be very concerned about the accountability measures used for private schools.
Or for all schools. And let's think about it. What is teacher training looking like in the private schools? Are they getting the same training as our public school teachers, which are now are getting training in Acadians and screeners? Is that happening in the private sector as well? So those are some things, if we want to be on an equal playing field, those things have to happen as well.
Judy, right? We've shifted to the science. You are on fire, girl. Honestly, you are bringing up such good points. And, you know, I think we were all so fearful about this topic.
We were.
But I think so. But I'm so proud of all three of us that we are talking about this, because interestingly enough, I think we are the only ones out there talking about it.
There'll probably be copycats tomorrow.
Well, all I can tell you is we're not backing off, and we're really hitting this head on. And I think both of you are bringing up unbelievable points.
You know what I think our listeners and viewers also need to know? The authors pointed out, what kind of funding do private schools receive? They've long received transportation, remedial, special education services, in addition to programs such as subsidized meals and after-school daycare, for which all low-income children are eligible. So private schools are being funded as they should.
As they should
with services for special ed, English language learners, daycare, remedial services. The crux of this question is, though, how well are children doing in private schools? In public schools, we are not exempt from taking the high-stake tests in every single state.
But we're not doing too well.
We're not doing well, but
accountability.
But we are accountable because we're not exempt from taking the state test.
But how are we held accountable? But how are we held accountable if non-researched and evidence-based programs are still happening both in the private and the public sector?
Well, that might get into our next topic on another day, which involves big business in education, the influence of political and big business in our children's lives.
And that, Mary, is exactly why I posted this article. Because in the New York Times, what really was stunning to me was every official, every elected official knew about this problem, that children were not getting basic literacy and numeracy skills and accepting money, and they all looked away. They all knew that these kids were coming out of school, not getting an adequate basic education, not enough for them to be able to function in the world and get jobs. And because they wanted the vote, because this particular religious group has a very strong hold in the community as far as a voting bloc, they all vote together. All these elected officials, the school officials turned away. They turned away, they looked the other way so that they could get a vote. That is what is, to me, the most upsetting, that there's this political machine.
So we must ask, what are we doing right by our children? Are we doing right by them? That gets to the point, Judy, what you were saying earlier. Go ahead.
And, you know, I agree with both of you tremendously. But I think, you know, I think in education, we're always thinking what's not working, what's not working, what's not working. Why don't we look in the public sector and in the private sector? There must be places that are successful and are doing great things. Why do we always focus only on what is not working? Because there are probably pockets of success, don't we think?
Right, but for $1 billion, there shouldn't be a pocket of success.
That's true. I agree.
Right. And you know, this is what the authors say in response to the question, shouldn't religious groups be allowed to educate children as they see fit? They say yes, but they should not be able to receive government funding for their private educational system while flouting minimal educational requirements.
Well, that's true.
Including basic literacy. When your kid comes out of eighth grade or sixth grade, they should be able to read and write and be able to compute.
But that, you know, it's very interesting though. Sometimes parents have to pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for private school education. However, are we in an equal playing field in terms of what are the requirements for the teachers? Do the teachers in the private schools need a master's? Do they need, you know, are the credentials the same? I don't think so.
Well, sometimes the pay is not the same either.
What?
The pay is not the same either. They get paid much less than public school educators, much less. And they don't have a defined benefit program like a pension, private school teachers. They do not.
Well, my main point is that I don't think it's an equal playing field for the kids, for the credentials sometimes of the teachers. And you know what? It's time. We know that there is an educational crisis in our country. We know that so many of our students, whether it be public or private sector, are not reading and able to function as well as they should be. So let's start thinking about getting those screeners into private schools, getting the proper training into private schools. Otherwise, we're not playing with an equal playing field.
Well, my feeling about this whole issue is that when you look at kids in the public schools and they're being pulled out for help and their needs are being addressed by a reading specialist or a resource room person, and they keep getting passed along in a system, that costs a lot of money too. And that is something we should be very upset about as well. But when you see that government money is also going into private schools too. And the same types of problems are there as well. There needs to be an overhaul of this whole system, including charter schools, private schools, religious schools, I don't care. But taxpayers should realize that it's not just a small issue. This is a very big issue that affects every single person in this country, whether your child does well or not. We need to start looking at the bigger picture. I've said this for a long time when people online talk about dyslexia, for example. And, you know, they focus on children with dyslexia. And I said, that's fine, but the real problem is in general education.
That's right.
That's the larger issue here. And those kids, of course, suffer more because of their difficulties. But by changing something for a small group, that only puts a Band-Aid on something. We have to look at changing this for the larger group as a whole, and we have to start caring about all people, including those kids who are in these private schools.
You know what you make both make excellent points, and I hope that political leaders and school leaders are paying attention. But more importantly than them, I hope voters are paying attention and that people in their communities gather together and lobby for changes. I love this article because I learned a bunch that I didn't know. So the question is, did the United States ever try to regulate what was going on in private schools? And the authors say yes. The Supreme Court in 1923, so almost 100 years ago, affirmed the power of the state to compel attendance at some school and to make reasonable regulations for all schools. But what happened? In the 1970s, people started resisting the establishment. And so there was a greater locus of control with parents. And they started demanding that they should have the say in what happens in the schools. So the article goes on, and there was another Supreme Court case in 1972. Wisconsin versus Yoder, in which the Amish were given a license, if you will, to end their education after eighth grade. So in the 1920s, they really were trying to make it a pretty standardized approach. But in the 70s, things started to roil and new compliance measures were used.
And you know what, the key word is reasonable. Mm-hmm. What is reasonable for one is not reasonable for someone else.
That's 100%.
And then how do you judge what is reasonable? According to this Jewish community that was focused on in the New York Times, they thought that what they were doing, and I'm sure they believe this, is reasonable in from their point of view. It's their children, it's their culture, it's their tradition. They feel that what they are doing is reasonable.
Can you expand on what they are doing though? What does that mean?
So in terms of educating their kids, they are focusing on a religious education. The children are reading in Hebrew or
Yiddish, I think, Yiddish, yeah.
Right? So which is kind of like a blend of languages. And, you know, in this community, that is how they want to raise their children, and they should have a right to raise their children as they see fit. And I completely agree with that. But when it comes to answering to a certain standard, a certain reasonable standard. We're not saying it has to be high level here, but reasonable enough so that kids could come out of school reading, writing, and doing math to be able to be in the workforce so that they are not in a welfare system which was stressed in the times, that many of these people were coming out and living on welfare. You know, there were people who said, no, the times was not being fair. They presented this in a very one-sided manner. Some would agree with that, you know, and I would say we have to look at both sides, but certainly the argument that I see is the real argument here is, shouldn't all kids come out of school with some basic skills? That's the bottom line. Shouldn't there be accountability?
Bottom line. Yeah. Bottom line. You know, I also thought this was interesting, and I learned this as well. The Supreme Court case, the 1972 Wisconsin versus Yoder, the Supreme Court explicitly described the parental right to control education as a matter of religious liberty protected by the First Amendment. So that was from that point on, parents, their cries, their rally cries have grown that this is what we want in our schools. But parents also have to realize we have to educate. The purpose of school is to educate. So while I did attend Mass, a weekly Mass as part of my Catholic education, I did learn to read, write, and do mathematics quite well. But how do we know that every kid is attaining that benchmark? There has to be a standardized test that public school kids have to take. It's just that simple.
All right, but then what's the solution when even in the public sector, we're not meeting that standard?
Well, but at least it's being given. At least we know. We don't know what the benchmark.
And what are we doing with that information?
Well, that's another topic for another day. It's a great point. Yeah. Because when you have.
And we know there's a lot of concerns in public education about what's being taught too. So there's a lot of controversy there as well, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just a private school issue. There's issues in both the public and private sector. But I think what Faith said before about getting down to thinking about the basics, what was it? What was that old slogan? Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah. You know, I think that's very important to be able to come out of school. That's why you go to school, to function in society where you can get jobs. And everyone needs to be able to read and do some basic writing and know mathematics. I don't think that's unreasonable to push private schools, religious schools, into having to report that data.
But I think we're then saying that it's reading and reading in English, because what if that student in another language is great in that other language? Is that enough?
Well, living in this country, I don't think it's enough. Unless you plan on just getting a job in a yeshiva. Yeshiva is a Jewish school. So unless you become a teacher in a yeshiva, or you're functioning in your own little neighborhood where you could continue to only read and write in that particular language, you're doing a disservice to these kids. And again, maybe some kids in that community would disagree. You know,
I'm sure there's many that will
disagree. And I'm sure there are plenty that would disagree, but yet the New York Times found people who were saying that, you know what? They feel that they could not get a job. They left school without being able to find work, living on welfare. Now, are we going to call those people liars? I mean, I imagine that that's how they felt.
But I'm sure there's many kids that leave the public
school. I knew you were going to say that, and you're 100% right. You're 150% right that they leave public school not being able to function in society.
But we have to have minimum educational requirements for all students in all schools, even if they're in private schools that are not religious. You know, private school students who are not in a religious school also do not take.
Like a Montessori or something like that, right?
Or the private schools, yeah, that are, you know, that are all over America. They don't take those high stakes tests either. and they do receive public funds. So if you're receiving public funds, then there has to be some kind of accountability measure. And I'm just going to close with this, Faith. You talk about being able to enter the workforce. I'm going to go a step further. Our democracy, we have to be able to have a literate nation who can read and think and analyze and evaluate. And if they're not being, we're throwing it way back to when slaves were not allowed to be educated. They weren't taught to read. We cannot survive as a democracy if we do not have an educated, literate populace. I've said that before, and I think it goes beyond making money. Every single person in this country should be able to participate in our democracy.
100%.
100%.
I agree with you completely. And I just want to close with, as Judy had said before, this conversation is not to scapegoat.
That's right.
At all to target any group. I think what's interesting that we all noted that we're assuming that the people who wrote the articles in the New York Times and the Atlantic, it's very possible, we're not sure, that they might be of the same religion of the people that they were writing about. And I think that I'm glad that that's the case, because I think they were trying to be fair and say, you know what, let's just look at this for what it is. It's a problem in education. It's a problem of accountability. This is not about targeting a group of people. And that's not what this conversation is about.
Exactly. Agreed. 100%. Judy, final thoughts? Yes.
So my final thoughts. So I think, like Faith was saying, this is not about the blame game. We have problems right now in public education and in private education. Let's start thinking about teacher training for all educators. Let's start thinking about screeners for literacy for all children, whether public or private. And let's start thinking about research and evidence-based programs in all our schools. You can retain your identity. You can be proud of who you are, but let's make sure that we're giving all children nationwide an equitable education.
Well said, Judy. Well said. That was perfect. Tonight, we thank the authors of this Atlantic article, Private Religious Schools Have Public Responsibilities Too. It was published on September 18th, 2022. And we thank the authors, Ms. Stolzenberg and Mr. Myers. So please join us again and tell your friends and family. We are not a boring podcast that just really regurgitates science of reading and literacy. We really try to broadband this, and we touch on all topics that have to do with becoming a literate person, an educated person in our 21st century society.
And a literate nation.
That's right.
I think that's what the hope is, to become a literate nation. Thank you.
Please subscribe and tell your friends and family. Thank you.
The Literacy View.